Views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, the nature of prayer. I wonder what that means. Plus, lip service needs more than chapstick. And in a barn buster, Jesus Christ, capitalist or socialist?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770, 972-445-0770, prayer request, praise report, trivia, whatever the case may be, any topic open for conversation, because it's not professional radio. I think I've demonstrated that quite clearly in the last 2.5 months. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, out of the gate, we want to give big props, big shout out to Jamie and Nancy Blumenthal, Retirement Strategies and Solutions. Yeah, you got that nailed down. That's perfect. Excellent job, I wonder, Julie. Here's the bottom line. So Jamie and Nancy, they have these gatherings like on a weekly basis. They have these dinners that they have, and they have these seminars. But those dinners are cool, and that's cool because you get to hear what they're talking about. But meeting them one-on-one, 10 times cooler, because you not only do you get a chance to hear what's really going on, you get a chance to know them one-on-one. Their business, Retirement Strategies and Solutions, they're about this thing called safe money. So if you're not sure what safe money is, here, let me help you. When you have a friend that goes to Vegas, just listen, and you give them $20, and you say, play this for me, okay? You just gave them safe money because they're going to spend your $20. If it doesn't win, they're just going to tell you it didn't win. If they play it for you and it wins, all of a sudden it became their money. Your $20 got lost. See, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is safe money is money that doesn't get gambled away, that's not on a high risk level, that's going to return and give an investment a return for what it's working for. You want a deal as you are getting towards closer and closer towards retirement with people that recognize your money needs to be safe. I don't think that's complex. I'm going out on a limb. You want to keep it safe. You want to get the best possible return for the longest amount of time in the safest possible condition. RetireTheRightWay.com with Jamie Blumenthal. That's how you get there. Now, they have a saying, plan right, retire right, retire the right way. And you're thinking, well, gosh, Dave, you're certainly promoting. They're our sponsor. And Jamie is going to be in studio tomorrow spending a lot of time with me. Now, why is that important? Because one of the things that I know is that for you to trust Jamie, you have to get to know him. Well, that's what we're going to give you the opportunity to do. Instead of just listening to a 60-second soundbite or, for me, just doing a simplistic read, you'll get a chance to hear him talk about issues and about money right live on the air. And if you want to call them while we're doing it, you can do that too. See, that's the kind of stuff you want. RetireTheRightWay.com, 800-287-1667. RetireTheRightWay.com, 800-287-1667. Okay, let me tell you a couple of things that happened. You read this. Wonder Julie's just going to shake her head. I'm driving home yesterday. Now, typically when I drive into the studio, it's a little more worshipy music, right? Because I'm prepping for the show. And then typically when I'm driving out, so maybe a little more spiritual music. But I have one of those little USB ports that you plug into your car, and it has 60 gazillion trazillion songs, of which I don't know about half of them. But it's got a bunch of songs on there. And then it came across one of the songs, and it was an Alan Jackson song, A Hole in the Wall. I don't know if you've heard it. There's a hole in the wall. Anyway, so I'm driving, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I haven't heard this song for a while. And I'm driving down the road, and I start to sing the chorus, although the windows are closed because I don't want the rest of the people in traffic in Dallas to start attacking me. And I don't do it very often, so I was singing, right? Got my bumper sticker on there. God created the universe. He can write a book. There you go. Bam! Somebody hits me from behind. I'm thinking, what? I was just kind of chilling, getting settled in for my 55-minute drive home. Turns out that I pulled over to the center side there, and a guy gets out of his truck, and I look at his truck, and I look at the back of my car, and here's what was there. Nothing. I mean, nothing. As in, not even a smidge. Not even a smudge. And I was like, I felt fine. I was like, that's weird. And he said, wow. He goes, that's weird. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, I like your bumper sticker. Like, you know, God created the universe. He can write a book recognizing that God's in charge. And I said, well, I'm not hurt. There's nothing going on with me. I'm fine. My car seems fine. There's no alerts going on. Nothing happened to your truck. Yeah, nice to meet you. And the extent of the whole thing took about 4 minutes, 5 minutes. I didn't miss that much in traffic. You know, it took an extra minute for somebody to let me back in. That's a whole separate issue. I just was really thankful that the Lord protected me. I guess that doesn't happen very often, does it? Where you just go boom and then boom and you're done. Is that most people go boom and it's boom. And so I was very blessed in that, and just want to thank people for praying for my safety, because apparently that happened. Or apparently the Lord didn't like me singing Alan Jackson's Hole in the Wall, so I have decided not to sing that anymore for the sake of everybody around me as well. Here we go. Trivia question. Did you like that story? Kind of different, right? Typically you hear about an accident. There's some major thing that happens. Not really. Nothing happened. All right. My car, I think my car drives better. That's not that hard for my car to do. Okay, here we go. First trivia question, not the easiest, not the hardest. Who went inside Jesus's tomb first, Peter or John? Who went inside Jesus's tomb first, Peter or John? 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. We are having a contest on Thursday and Friday. I'm trying to get you guys all, you know, get your brains dialed in, get yourselves ready to go. While we're waiting on that call, we are going to talk a little bit about prayer. And I want to talk about Matthew chapter 21, verse 18, and the fig tree. Matthew 21, 18, in the morning, as Jesus was returning to Jerusalem, he was hungry. And he noticed a fig tree beside the road. He went over to see if there was any figs on it, but there were only leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately the fig tree withered up. The disciples were amazed when they saw this and asked, how did the fig tree wither so quickly? Then Jesus told them, I assure you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to the mountain, may God lift you up and throw you into the sea, and it will happen. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. wonderful teaching by Jesus that has been obviously abused by many people on the extremes, either on the extreme left or right, which is why you shouldn't go to the left or the right, to be honest. But here Jesus expressly comes across a fig tree, and some people go, the fig tree represents this, and the fig tree is this, and the fig tree is this. Or, wait, I submit to you, or it was a fig tree. Okay, because sometimes a fig tree is a fig tree. And Jesus was hungry, you know. Now, we don't do a lot of fig trees. I don't think you guys do a lot of fig trees in Texas, do you? You don't do fig trees out here, do you? Is it?
No.
No, you do, what do you do out here? What's the bigger fruit? Apple, oranges, that kind of thing?
Yeah, not so many oranges. Not the citrus fruit, but apples. We've
apples.
Got apples.
Okay. So you go up to an apple tree. You're hungry. You look at the apple tree. There's no apples. You go, I don't like you. So Jesus was not happy with its production, right? Fig tree, bye, see ya, right? And you're thinking, well, this represents this, and this means this. No, I think he went up to the tree, it didn't do what he was hoping it would did, and he said, see ya. But that's not the nature of prayer, because Jesus ties this into prayer and says an amazing thing, because people are out there going, you can lift mountains. It says, Jesus said, may God lift you up when you're talking to the mountain, not you as the person lifting up. Let's just stop that. But in verse 21, Jesus said, I assure you, if you have faith and do not doubt. Ah-ha! 2 points. You have to have faith and you can't doubt. Not one or the other, both. See, the nature of prayer is dependence on God. Did you hear me? The very nature of prayer is dependence on God. Just by praying, you are exercising that acknowledgement of dependence. And Jesus tells you, hey, when you're praying, first of all, don't let it drip out the side of your mouth like nothing's happening, okay? Be, you know, talk to the Lord. But when you're praying, have faith. You only need the faith of the mustard seed, but you can't doubt too, because the doubt will cancel out the mustard seed of faith. You see how that works? So you got to have faith and not doubt. So it's just got to be real, genuine faith. Doesn't have to be a ton. Just got to be there. Because when Jesus responds to you, if you have faith and you doubt, you just canceled out whatever faith you had. So it's faith and not doubting. That's what you do when you're praying. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
The deterioration of the ecosystem or creation itself is definitely the result of man. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. And until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem or creation itself crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to use it, you were in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to really say it, you were in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there, too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope.
and God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience. The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, the love of many will grow cold. And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Oh, man, that was a good one. Here in Texas, because that's my handle. Yeah, okay. Let's see. You want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia at gmail.com. Website, David Spoon Media. The question on the table for the Trivia Tears. That's a good name, Trivia Tears. The question on the table is, who, now I got to find it, but who got to the tomb first? Who was at the tomb first? Was it Peter or John? Who went inside the tomb first, Peter or John? That is the question. I like that question. That's a good question. Quite simply, the odds are you have two people to choose from. I feel in my heart you guys can get this. What is our number? 972, right? 972-445-0770. It takes me a while, folks. I'm still just getting used to everything, kind of. All right, not entirely. All right, we already have an answer. We're going to do the answer first, and then we'll do our sponsorship. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, this is Jerry.
Hi, Jerry. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Make sure you drive safe. Yesterday, I got hit in the back of the car, so make sure you keep an eye on the road.
Yeah,
be safe
amen.
The whole time.
Amen, Brother Ben. Oh. Yeah, amen. That's right.
What do you got for me? Well, who was in the tomb?
The one that loved the Lord the most. That the Lord loved the most, Brother John.
That well, now here's the thing, John. Now here you got Peter and John ran to the tomb, right?
Right.
John got to the tomb first,
right.
But he didn't go inside.
Oh, okay.
He stopped, and Peter went barreling through. So we're gonna give we're gonna give you a credit because he did outrun Peter, which apparently wasn't that hard back then. But we're gonna give you a credit because you were half in there and you kind of had the idea. But inside the tomb, Peter goes in, and then John follows. And what's amazing is it's not very it's not a very polite statement about Peter.
Yeah. Well, I stand corrected.
Yeah,
so, that humbled me. So that's good. All right.
Well, I don't know. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you need to take that as a deep humbling, but I love that you call in and you ask. You had one of two, so you were going. You're getting close one way or another. So that was a good job. I appreciate
thank you very
it,
much.
Sir. All right, God bless you. Drive safe, by the way. Make sure to do that. Okay, excellent. I'm glad that you called. See, I love that. And by the way, have you ever done those trivia? Well, a lot of people, you do those trivia programs and you go and see how far you can get. I do really good until they switch the version and ask you questions. And it's like, I don't know. I'm not sure I know that version. And then they ask you really weird questions. You know, anyway, good to keep on our toes. Good to keep up. By the way, I'm so excited to do this read for Dr. Brandon Brown. That's our very own Dr. B. Here's the deal. He is in charge of the specific chiropractic centers. Guess what he did at my request, because he's a nice guy. Redirected the URL, changed the URL. Yay! So you can go to drbrandonbrown.com. Dr. D-R, just D-R, not the whole word. Dr. D-R, Brandon, B-R-A-N-D-O-N, Brown. I'm not spelling Brown for you. drbrandonbrown.com to get to his website now. His number is 972-454-9363, 972-454-9363. My wife went yesterday. She's doing a lot better because she had all these adjustment-y problems. He's helping her out. I'm going in next week because my head is so large, it hurts my back because it tilts. As it tilts either forward or backward, depending on how the hurricane's blowing, kind of mentality. And so I'm going in there, and I talked to him today. I'm so excited. Dr. Brandon Brown, drbrandonbrown.com. There you go. We got that rolling. That's how you can get right to it. He was telling me that June is migraine headache awareness month. Now, there's always all these months of awareness and stuff, and I can't follow. So we're going to put together something because he's going to probably do a little bit of a class and a demonstration on helping people get through migraine headaches by getting their backs kind of in sync. My back is somewhere south of Fuji. So Fiji. So Fuji. Is it Fiji or Fuji? It's Fiji, right? I don't know. Not enough coffee for me. That's the problem. I need more. DrBrandonBrown.com, 972-454-9363. I think people are getting nervous because I'm going to talk about Jesus and socialism and capitalism, and they're like going, what is going to happen there? Nothing's going to happen. I'm going to talk about what the scripture says. I don't really care what one group says or doesn't say. You know, scripture says turn not to the left or right. Have you read Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2? I'm going to follow what the scripture says. Just that simple. I can tell you right now, nobody's winning out of this one. That's all I can give you ahead of time. Let us get into our next smaller section about lip service. I do want to say this about lip service. This is coming out of Matthew. And Matthew is such a fascinating – it's my favorite gospel in the sense that John is cool and Mark is cool and Luke is cool. But Matthew was the first one that I read. And so I've always had that near and dear to my heart kind of mentality. Plus, it was written to the Jews, and being Jewish, you think, well, there's a big connection. Not so much. I was the first one I read, so I just fell in love with it. That's how it goes. Here's the story of the two sons by Jesus. Jesus says, what do you think about this? A man had two sons and told the older boy, son, go out and work in the vineyard today. The son answered, no, I won't. I'm not going to go. But later he changed his mind and he went anyway. Then the father told the other son, you go. And he said, yes, sir, I will. But he didn't go. Which of the two was obeying his father? The religious leaders replied, the first, of course. Then Jesus explained his meaning. I assure you, corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you do. For John the Baptist came and showed you the way to life, and you didn't believe him, while tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw this happening, you refused to turn from your sin and believe John. I find passages like this just absolutely incredible. This story is about two brothers. The first one is told by his dad, go do this. And you know what he says? No. Not gonna do it. Nope, not gonna do it. Not gonna happen. No. But later he changed his mind. Can I tell you something? Parables have, as they say in the teaching realm, they have one primary meaning, and you gotta be careful about digging into the details and so on and so forth. Though everybody digs into the details when it helps their theology. That's a little bit of honesty there. But I look at these stories and I think Jesus purposely told his stories with much more intent than just making a single point. Because in this story, you have the elder brother who is asked to go do something, and he flat out tells his father no, but then he kind of kicks it around in his brain and thinks, oh, I got to do this. And he does it. And I look at that, and I think, that's me. I don't think of it in any other terms. I think of it in these terms. The Lord will tell me to do something, work on something, you know, do better, even be more Christ-like in something. And in my rebellious part of me, I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. And you think it's a joke, but I'm telling you, a lot of us will do this. We will resist God in the initial thrust of what he wants us to do. And we think about it. Like the Lord might say, there might be something, you know, for me, eat less chocolate eclairs. I'm telling you right now, I tell God, no. But I need to eat less chocolate eclairs. Why? Because I got my blood test back for my cholesterol. I don't have high cholesterol. I have Pluto cholesterol, right? It's like to Pluto and back. You know, the place that used to be a planet and then they took that down, which ruined everybody's science fair wins from 100 years. But the idea there is to understand that there's a resistance from time to time when the Lord tells you to do something, do a better job. It's not uncommon for you and I to actually do that. And then after the Lord, you know, kind of just lets the Holy Spirit just kind of dwell on us and go knock, 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 you know you should do better. And we do better. We say, okay. Well, you know what? God considers that obedience. He said, which of them? Just think about what Jesus said. He said, you know, which of these two was obeying his father? Even the guy that started with the resistance but said, I'll do it. That's still obedience. It might be delayed obedience, but it's obedience. The other son, the younger one, the slicker one, he said, you betcha, I'll do it, you bet. And all he did was give lip service. And he didn't do a thing. You and I might start with a no, but if we can get around to the yes, it's still obedience. It might be delayed, and it often is delayed for me, depending on what it is. But it's the grace of God by which he gives me that opportunity to come back and get it right. Okay? So just because you said no and got to go a different direction, not the end. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false, but it feels the same.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
It's because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait. I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing.
All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Wow, what a roof!
It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Oh, tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey. You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia.com. Also, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Our sponsor for today, our sponsor for this segment, I should say. See how I don't do that correctly? Our sponsor for this very first segment is our good friend, John.
Big John.
So John is the owner of the Blessed Roofing Company. So here's a great way to figure out what his website looks like. TheBlessedRoofingCompany.com. Because he runs and owns the Blessed Roofing Company. So you can go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. Notice how I said theblessedroofingcompany.com four times in 30 seconds. Get that? That's radio. Theblessedroofingcompany.com because he owns the Blessed Roofing Company. His phone number, 469-BLESSED, 469-BLESSED. Free inspections, which means how much? Free, which means how much? Free. Which means what? Free inspections. Whether it's roof replacement or roof repair. Call them at 469-BLESSED, B-L-E-S-S-E-D, or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com, fill out the form. They will contact you, set it up. There is no difficulty in them coming out and checking out your house for free and writing up a little report. Doesn't cost you a thing. You don't have to be there. It is as simple as can be. And with all the roof stuff that goes on in Texas, you want to make sure that roof is not just blessed. It is appropriately above your head. Because if it's not, it'll be in your lap, and that's a bad thing. Okay? Okay. All right. One more trivia question, and I'm only going to do one more because of the nature of what I'm going to teach on. What is the shortest verse in the Bible? The shortest verse in the Bible. The shortest verse in the Bible, 972-445-0770. You cannot just give me the quote. I need the address, too. 972-445-0770. I need the address as well as the actual quote, which is pretty short. Well, that was really short. That took like no time. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, thank you, David, for hanging up on me, but allowing me to say it again. Jesus wept.
Jesus wept. Tell me, my friend, where is it located?
It's in John, but I don't know the exact reference. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We're gonna do so. I'm gonna give you a correct answer. So yay on the answer. So that was a good job. Now I'm going to leave it open for somebody to give me the address. The address is what the actual number is, but you are correct. Jesus wept, which is really funny because they did a Bible survey of churches, and they were at, people were asked to quote a scripture, and over 65% of the people coming out of churches could not remember Jesus wept. That's not a good sign.
Yes, that's
not a good sign. So good answer, my friend. Way to stay right on top of it. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, David.
All right, you take care, brother.
Bye-bye.
All right, and we're going to keep the other half of the question open for those that want to know, where is it? Now, I want you to know it, but I don't want you to go to Google and look it up. I want you to look it up in your Bible. Find it in your Bible. Here we go. There's no mercy coming out of this one. That's all I can tell you. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, socialist or capitalist? Matthew chapter 21, verse 33. Now listen to this story, Jesus said. A certain landowner planted a vineyard, built a wall around it, dug a pit for pressing out the grape juice, and built a lookout tower. Then he leased the vineyard to tenant farmers and moved to another country. At the time of the grape harvest, he sent his servants to collect his share of the crop. But the farmers grabbed his servant, beat one, killed another, stoned another. So the landowner sent a larger group of his servants to collect for him. But the results were the same. Finally, the owner sent his son, thinking, surely they will respect my son. But when the farmers saw his son coming, they said to one another, here comes the heir to this estate. Come on, let's kill him and get the estate for ourselves. So they grabbed him, took him out of the vineyard, and murdered him. Yowza. When the owner of the vineyard returns, Jesus asked, what do you think he will do to those farmers? The religious leaders replied, he will put the wicked men to a horrible death and lease the vineyard to others who will give him his share of the crop after each harvest. And then Jesus asked them, did you ever read this in the scripture? The stone rejected by the builders has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous to see. What I mean is this, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation that will produce the proper fruit. Anyone who stumbles over that stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls. When the leading priests and Pharisees heard Jesus, they realized he was pointing at them, that they were the farmers in his story, and they wanted to arrest him, but they were afraid to try because the crowds considered Jesus to be a prophet. First and foremost, we're going to talk about the socialism and the capitalism, which is right in the framework of this. But notice what the result was that Jesus said. What do you think they're going to do to these people? What do you think the owner of the land's going to do to these people afterwards? And they said, this is the reply by the religious leaders. He will put the wicked men to a horrible death and lease the vineyard to others. And Jesus said, didn't you ever read this in the scripture? Let me tell you, people that say Jesus never talked about the death penalty have never read Matthew 21. Jesus tells a story and says, what are they going to do to these murderers? And the response is, they're going to execute them. And Jesus didn't go, oh, no, they shouldn't do that. It's right there. He's talking about the death penalty for people that have committed murder. Sorry, folks. Right there in the New Testament. You don't like it? Tell Jesus you're mad at him. That's how it goes. But that doesn't have to do with our main track here. That's a whole separate issue. And by the way, that happens five times in the Gospels where Jesus asks what's going to happen. There is an execution that takes place to uphold the law and to put wicked people in the right place. And not one time does Jesus say a word about it. So when people say Jesus is silent about the death penalty, no, he's not. People are just daft when they read the Word of God. That's what's going on. So Jesus, in this story, talks about evil farmers, and the landowner makes an investment, moves to another country, and then he sends people to collect his share, verse 34 says. So what we know for sure is Jesus is a revenue sharer. Jesus does revenue share. It's right there. He wanted to collect his share of the crop. So then the question becomes, you know, the farmers grabbed and beat one servant, killed another, beat another. And then in our society today, in our politics today, it's pretty simple. Well, does this make Jesus a capitalist or does this make Jesus a socialist? Because, you know, how does this structure? Because he's leasing out the farm, he's getting stuff from people. How does that work? Well, it's pretty straightforward. Jesus is a capitalist with not without abuse, and he's a socialist when it comes to a voluntary position. And you're thinking, how can that be? You're going to tell me that the extremes on both sides are wrong? Well, yeah, I'm going to tell you that because that's what Jesus said. Here's what we know. Luke chapter 19, verse 8. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I will now give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay him back four times the amount." This is a person who is a definitive capitalist who took advantage to such a degree that he was hosing people. He was ripping them off. And real salvation says, hey, make that right. Just make it right. You don't have to stop doing business, but you got to make stuff like that right. And when you look at Matthew chapter 25, you get to see a very specific element where Jesus talks about the talents. He says, again, it's like a man going on a journey, called his servants, entrusted his property to them. To one he gave five talents, to another two talents, to another one talent, each according to their ability. God gives different levels of different things to different people. It's not the same for everybody all the way across. So that part of socialism is ridiculous, okay? It's absurd. On the flip side, there is a passage in Acts, and you guys should know it well. Acts chapter 4, verse 32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that anyone had possessions of his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify the resurrection of the Lord, and much grace was upon them. What's the difference? Well, the difference is you can't have a wicked capitalist, but you can't have a forced socialist. You can't have that either, because every time the Bible talks about somebody giving and it being distributed, it's 100% voluntary. There is no coercion. There is no any of that. So when you've got people like Bernie Sanders, who's a disenfranchised Jewish guy who's self-loathing, okay, I know because I'm a Jew, and I look at that and go, oh, self-loathing Jew. Here's the bottom line. He wants to take money. And AOC wants to take people's money because they're now qualified to distribute. Do you know the only people that were qualified to distribute back then were the apostles, who spent 3 years with Jesus every day? They were qualified. Those people in our Congress, in our Senate, they're not qualified. The apostles were qualified. While it's yours, it's your own. We know that by Acts chapter 5. You do whatever you want with it. Once you surrender it, once you give it voluntarily, then you want the best possible people distributing it. Well, that ain't the people in our Congress. They're nutsy. Right? I'm going to give a 29-year-old a dollar? I wouldn't give her a quarter. When we come back, I'm going to dive deeper into that, so I don't want you to go anywhere. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Real estate. It's a bear out there. You don't want to list your home for too little, and you don't want to buy a home for too much. You need the just right solution. You may be wondering what your house is worth and who can give you the service you deserve. If you're looking for a partner in your home sale, a person who will treat you and your home like family, then get in touch with Pam. There's a great deal of blood, sweat, and tears that went into your home. You should work with someone who understands and appreciates that. You should work with Pam. To call and talk to her is free. To have a consultation is free. To gain a partner in this venture is precious. Don't delay. Call Pam today. 817-505-5541. Or visit theblessedrealtycompany.com.
This is an agent with some real common sense and zeal. She has a great attitude while also being very nice and friendly. Pamela has a great amount of experience in education, but more than that, she's just real.
Pam Melchione, 817-505-5541, or visit theblessedrealtycompany.com.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy, too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now, and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy, 972-445-1700, or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here on KAAM 770. By the way, that's KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We want to give a big shout out to our very own Pamela Melchione.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's
Melchione. Okay, that's right. I'm singing Italian now. Probably not my forte in life. Here's the bottom line. If you want to deal with somebody in real estate that is honorable and will do the work as unto the Lord, get in touch with Pamela, who will be in the studio on Thursday. 817-505-5541. 817-505-5541. The blessed RealtyCompany.com. How close is that to the other one? The Blessed Realty Company. B-L-E-S-S-E-D. The Blessed Realty Company.com. Especially if you want to work with somebody who cares about how you think of things. That matters immensely. Intensely. Get that? All right. Get in touch with Pamela, and then you can say, Dave said I get a free cannoli. You won't get one, but you can tell her I said that. She'll just laugh at you because she's got a great sense of humor. Here we go. I want to do a follow-up on this. So here's the bottom line. People in our country is definitely capitalistic in nature. There's almost impossible to argue that, okay? Especially from a historical point of view, our country has been a rugged individual freedom country, right? So then you have these competing economic theories. You have socialism. You have capitalism. You have all these different things. As Christians, we're looking for a theocratic government, but not theocratic like Iran, because Iran runs a theocratic government through the people, through the people who are supposed to be their high priests. We want a theocratic government that's pure, run by Jesus Christ. Okay? You see that difference? So in the worldly theocratic government, the people speak for God and tell you what's going on. But in the ideal government of humanity, it would be Jesus Christ himself. There could be no being ever ever that would be better in that position. But on this side of the trumpet, that's not happening that way. So we are in man's systems, capitalism, socialism. Here's the problem with capitalism. There's a lot of greedy people. And they ruin the notion. Here's the problem with socialism. There's a lot of people bent on power. And they want to control. And they don't have a real sense of fairness. Here's the problem with every single economic system. It's a system of man. And when people tell you, well, man is basically good. Jesus never said that. Jesus never said, man is basically good. Jesus said, you're evil. There is not one time in the Old Testament where it says man is basically good. No, he's not. We're made in the image and likeness of God, Dave. That's right. As people that have domain over the earth, like God has domain over the universe. Correct. But because of our sinfulness, we are far from the character of God. And then we bring those systems into play. And it's a mess. Folks, it's a mess. You can't possibly think that this earth is the best it gets. Christianity does not allow for existentialism. It does not. There's no such thing as a Christian existentialist. It's either the new heavens or the new earth or the whole thing is a lie. Period. Not a refurbished earth. Did you ever get a refurbished phone? They're terrible. I don't want a refurbished earth. I want the new heavens and the new earth that God promised in Isaiah, that God promised in Revelation. I want a new heavens and a new earth because that is the place that God has given us to pursue. Also, by the way, in 2 Peter. A new heavens and a new earth. But in the meantime, we're on this earth, which is filled with sin and filled with dirt and filled with man's systems. And the fact of the matter is you will never find 100% satisfaction on this earth because sin exists here. And inside of you is the Holy Spirit that does not like sin. So you'll never find that 100% harmony, which is why people medicate. They medicate so that they can just ignore that things aren't perfect. That's what it's all about. That's why people do drugs. To what? To escape. That's why they do it. So what I want you to know is there are elements to things like socialism that have really good intent. And there are elements in capitalism that are just fantastic. You get to work hard. What you produce, you get. That's all cool. But if you think any system created by man, whether in America, in Rome, in Greece, or any other place, is going to be at the level that heaven is going to be, you're nuts. You're cuckoo. Because only God's system is flawless and perfect. And but there's so much pollution in our land, and I'm not talking about candy wrappers, folks. Every time Scripture talks about pollution, it talks about sin. Sexual sin, murder, things of that nature pollute the land. Well, the earth is polluted. He washed it once. Next time, he's going to burn it. I will say this. I want the opportunity to pursue my freedom. I want that document. You know, the Constitution is a great document. It's not the Bible. It's not inspired like the Bible. Stop saying that. But it's a fantastic document for man to walk to. I want that opportunity. I want the opportunity to produce. I want the opportunity to do it on my own. And I do want people, by the way, who are hurting to have some kind of grace given, to have some kind of blessing. Nobody is opposed to that. But if you go to the extreme right or the extreme left, there's just tons and tons of problems. And then I have a huge problem with our current society because people like Bernie or people like AOC, they want to give themselves a raise. It's like, wait, I don't see the apostles going, yeah, you know what? Barnabas just gave up his land. We got about 2.5 mil out of that. I think all of us apostles need a raise. I just don't see it. I don't see it happening. And I don't see people of quality like the apostles making any distribution. So I have a problem with that. And every one of those people is anti-Jesus. You know what? It's so funny. You think that charismatics think that the Baptists are false teachers or false prophets, and then Baptists thinks that the charismatics are false prophets. It's wrong, 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 wrong. Those people that are on your tube that are making proclamation on those news channels, those are the false prophets. They're using part of the name of Jesus with no actual truth connected to it. The real false prophets are those people on those cable televisions, in those newspapers, all those social media warriors who beat people because they disagree. Those are the false prophets. Somebody gets something wrong in Scripture, typically we'll call that an error, not a false prophet. These people have a false god. You know who their false god is? Themselves. Mankind, the creator, is moved to the side. And in these people's lives, the creation, humanity, is God. That's false teaching. That's a false prophet. So while I have admiration for those that buckle down and sympathy for those who are unable to help, I'm not going to jump on either one of those ships. I'm going to do exactly what the angel confronted Joshua with. The angel of the Lord's army was in front of Joshua, and Joshua said, "Are you for me? Are you for us? Or are you for them?" That was the guy that was leading the chosen people of God. He said, "Neither. I'm for the army of God." That's the key. I totally agree with people's rights to engage and jump in and even get passionate about it. But the kingdom of God is where God is king. And until he's the king of that section, it's not the kingdom of God. So very simply put, I support everybody in a sincere effort and devotion to follow hard after the Lord. But there's nothing wrong with having compassion for those that can't, and nothing wrong with giving praises for those who can. And there's nothing wrong with not picking one of those sides and saying, they're the only ones right, they're the only ones right. It's just another sense of extremism. God's kingdom, that's the one we're living for. That's the one we want, okay? God, his, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Just as I am, you reach down and see.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.